and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
The explosion happened, and I just seen the sky light up, and I pulled over, and basically, it was just real bad around here.
That man was driving on Philadelphia's northeast side when a medical evacuation jet, a Learjet 55 with six people aboard, crashed shortly after takeoff. It was raining, but the aircraft's age may have played a role.
Well, this was a 43-year-old Mexican air ambulance. It had just taken off from northeast Philadelphia airport when it crashed into those buildings and burst into flames. It was headed to Springfield, Missouri. Air traffic controllers cleared it for takeoff, and then they went back to talk to it, and they couldn't reach, get into contact.
ABC Sam Sweeney. Sources tell ABC News the Trump administration is drawing up a list of FBI agents and officials it wants fired or forced to leave the bureau. A grand jury in Louisiana indicted a New York physician for allegedly prescribing an abortion pill online. This is ABC News. 4 months later, forensics experts in Texas have determined a natural gas explosion in the Houston area was an intentional act, a driver crashing into an above-ground pipeline.
Three civilians and a firefighter were hurt in the massive blast and resulting fire, and SUV driver Jonathan McAvoy was killed. Investigators learned that he had previously tried to take his own life by hanging and firearm. Forensics experts have determined that he intentionally drove through a fence and crashed into the gas line.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Her past coming back to haunt Carla Sofia Gascon. Old posts from the Oscar-nominated lead of the movie Emilia Perez's social media, some going back as far as 2016, resurfaced this week. They took aim at Muslims' dress, language, and culture in her native Spain. Another called George Floyd a drug addict. In a statement, she said she's deeply sorry. Her ex account now deactivated. Gascon made history as the first trans performer to be nominated for Best Actress. Richard Cantu.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Packers lose a defensive coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers linebacker and run defense coordinator Anthony Campanelli is leaving Green Bay to become defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Campanelli asked what's one of the biggest things he's learned as an NFL assistant coach.
Everybody has a different personality. I think that's part of being a coach is understanding that you don't coach everybody the exact same way. It just doesn't work that way.
On offense, former Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion expected to become Jordan Love's quarterback coach. Tom Clements retired last week. NBA, the Bucks in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team as a reserve. Lillard talked about missing out on a chance to meet former UFC boxing champ Conor McGregor at the Jazz game the other night.
I didn't even know he was there. That's what was crazy. It's like we came back in here after the game and they was talking about it and I didn't even see him. And I'm a big Conor McGregor fan too, so I would have had some questions for him.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Oscars are just 4 weeks away, and if you missed some of the Best Picture nominees the first time around or don't have access to the films in theaters, don't despair. The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, I'm Still Here, and Nickel Boys are unavailable to stream at the moment, but the rest of the nominees are available to watch in the comfort of your own home. Anora, Wicked, and The Substance are all on pay-per-view for anywhere from $4 to $20. 20 big ones might sound like a lot, but oftentimes is cheaper than actually going to the theater. The following potential Best Pick winners are free free if you have the appropriate platforms. Conclave is on Peacock. You can catch A Real Pain on Hulu, and Emilia Perez is available on Netflix. Check them out. It will make watching the Oscars more fun. And at those prices, you can't afford not to be a couch potato. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky for tonight, lows in the upper teens. And turning mostly cloudy for tomorrow, highs in the mid-30s. Then some rain and snow showers around tomorrow night before it warms up to the upper 40s for a high Sunday and partly sunny.
It's 39 right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey K. joins to reflect on the legacy of the birthday boys Thomas Paine and FDR. Also, will tariffs on Canada and Mexico lower prices for Wisconsinites? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake, and I can't even say that word anymore.
Oh,
we are vigilant. No, that's a village and an ant.
Oh.
So we are resistance experts here at Native Roots Radio. I just want to say that. And I just got to say, you sent me an article, Haley, and I just want to touch just briefly on this. Native Roots Radio was started because of all the misinformation from Standing Rock, and something just came across the interweb, and it's interesting. Court documents reveal the FBI used informants to monitor indigenous activists during the Dakota Access Pipeline protests. And we kind of knew that.
Mm.
And it's coming up again, and it's real information. And that I could see that happening. And it's FBI's up to their same old tricks all the way back from, 500 years, but I know just recently, you know, during the American Indian Movement, the big days of the American Indian Movement, there was informants all over in there. And, you know, it's something not new, but it's something to bring up, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. That came across my Instagram feed yesterday from 7_Sisters_Collective. And this apparently was a post by Red Horn Woman quoting, "The feds watch, they infiltrate, and they try to divide us, even online. This will only increase under Trump. At least 10 FBI informants were embedded at Standing Rock alongside undercover federal agents and BIA officers using drones, social media monitoring, and radio eavesdropping against land defenders."
Yeah.
Wow. They're just so, 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 so scared of us.
Yeah, well, during Standing Rock, they should have, and should have been, because that was an amazing experience. And, you know, we went out there four times, and, you know, each time we were there thanks-taking, and there was probably 20,000 people there, and they were just rolling in, and that was like the second largest city in North Dakota at that time. And people from all over the world and all over the United States, especially, was meeting people from all over, and people really resisting. And first time out there, the pipeline was a long ways away, and people were getting arrested, and it was just crazy. They had the dogs, you know, come on, people. But we just have to bring that history up too, because that's not being taught out there in a good way or corrective way too. Hey, you have something up here that I saw cross my feed, and that was Auntie Deb is back, and Deb Holland's preparing to run for New Mexico governor. Wow, that would be amazing.
I know, right? Deb's not done yet, says Indigenous.tv, one of my favorite Instagram handles. Go give them a follow. But yeah, they said big news, Deb Holland, who made history as the first Native American U.S. Cabinet Secretary while leading the Department of the Interior, is reportedly preparing for her next big move, which is running for governor of New Mexico. If elected in 2026, Holland would be the first Native American woman to serve as governor of any state, further solidifying her legacy as a trailblazer for Indigenous leadership in U.S. politics.
Hey, speaking of governor, I think we have an update from Governor Evers from the great state of Wisconsin, and talking about things that really need to be talked about. And Haley, why don't we take a listen?
For sure.
They are Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Kathy and I raised three kids, so we know that for parents, nothing is more important than our kids' safety, no matter where they are. So keeping our kids, families, schools, and communities safe, including reducing crime and gun violence, should be a top priority for us. While violent crime is going down statewide, the rate of gun deaths is trending in the opposite direction. That's why I created our new Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention to take a statewide approach to reducing crime, preventing violence, and keeping kids and communities safe. And the truth is this, the vast majority of Wisconsinites, including gun owners, agree. We can take easy, simple steps to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Let's close the loophole so that everyone goes through a violent history check when they purchase a firearm. Let's pass a red flag law to give law enforcement and loved ones the tools they need to get guns out of the home when someone is a dangerous risk to themselves or others. Let's keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers and help make sure that guns in homes are locked away or have a trigger lock engaged, and that firearms at retailers are secured when their businesses are unattended. Let's make sure that if a firearm is lost or stolen, law enforcement is immediately notified. And a lot of our work is not just to prevent people from hurting others, but to make sure people are safe from hurting themselves. So let's reinstate the 48-hour waiting period for firearm purchases and create a self-assigned firearm exclusion program to allow Wisconsinites to temporarily and voluntarily register to prevent themselves from purchasing a firearm. We should be able to get this common sense stuff done with bipartisan support, folks. Let's do better for Wisconsin than doing nothing. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
That's a great update, as always, from Governor Evers, the great governor of the state of Wisconsin, which we know we have thousands and thousands of listeners out there on civic media listening to us daily. So we give a shout out to the state of Wisconsin, but also Governor Evers. So big peeny geegy. Hey, switching gears a little bit, Academy Awards are coming up, Haley, and there's some really interesting and good news for Native films. Sugarcane is a documentary that investigates the abuse and missing children in Indian residential schools, which sparks reckoning on the nearby Sugarcane Reserve. That's some exciting news.
Yeah, definitely is. Big news for Natives in film. Sugarcane's director, Jillian Brave Noisecat, is officially the first Academy Award-nominated North American Indigenous filmmaker in the Oscars' 97-year history. I can believe that there hasn't been Indigenous representation in the whole 97 years of the Academy, but you know, this is a huge win, and there's been some contenders up there. I know Lily Gladstone was, that might have been a different award thing, actually. But you can catch Sugarcane. I know it's streaming on Hulu right now. And yeah, that one, the 97th Academy Awards will air on Sunday, March 2nd, and that'll be at 7. So definitely watch Sugarcane on Hulu and check out, hopefully they get that win on March 2nd.
Yeah. Dang, I got to check it out. We have Hulu. What do you know?
It's coming up quick, huh? It's like today's the last day of January, day 54 or something.
Oh, my God. Day 54 of the year?
Yeah, it feels like it. Of January, at least.
It's the 50th of January. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, well, I love the Academy Awards, so that'll be cool to see. We also got that tattoo festival happening on the March 14th and the 16th, and that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I know it's at that Native-owned Intercontinental Hotel in downtown St. Paul.
Ooh, I wish. Is that Native-owned? I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
It is. Wow, that's amazing. But yeah, so definitely save the date for this. March 14th, 15th, and 16th, Friday through the Sunday, Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis is going to be out there with their tattoo artists and everything. There's going to be a bunch of live music, including Stella Standing Bear, Superman, Joe Rainey, Thomas X, Jada Brown, Sean Hu, and DJ AO. You can get tattooed there. So check out the Akitho Festival, A-K-I-T-H-O Festival, for more bookings and other information.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be awesome. And we got 30 seconds to go, and we got State Senator Mary Kunish up next. And we are really happy to talk to her straight on and dead on and talk about many things that are happening in the state of Minnesota and Turtle Island. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
The explosion happened, and I just seen the sky light up, and I pulled over, and basically, it was just real bad around here.
That man was driving on Philadelphia's northeast side when a medical evacuation jet, a Learjet 55 with six people aboard, crashed shortly after takeoff. It was raining, but the aircraft's age may have played a role.
Well, this was a 43-year-old Mexican air ambulance. It had just taken off from northeast Philadelphia airport when it crashed into those buildings and burst in the flames. It was headed to Springfield, Missouri. Air traffic controllers cleared it for takeoff, and then they went back to talk to it, and they couldn't reach get into contact.
ABC Sam Sweeney. Sources tell ABC News the Trump administration is drawing up a list of FBI agents and officials it wants fired or forced to leave the bureau. A grand jury in Louisiana indicted a New York physician for allegedly prescribing an abortion pill online. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers lose a defensive coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers linebacker and run defense coordinator Anthony Campanelli is leaving Green Bay to become defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Campanelli asked what's one of the biggest things he's learned as an NFL assistant coach.
Everybody has a different personality. I think that's part of being a coach, is understanding that you don't coach everybody the exact same way. It just doesn't work that way.
On offense, former Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion expected to become Jordan Love's quarterback. Back coach Tom Clements retired last week. NBA, the Bucks in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team as a reserve. Lillard talked about missing out on a chance to meet former UFC boxing champ Conor McGregor at the Jazz game the other night.
I didn't even know he was there. That's what was crazy. It's like we came back in here after the game and they was talking about it and I didn't even see him. And I'm a big Conor McGregor fan too, so I would have had some questions for him.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a fan of the video game Fortnite and Sabrina Carpenter's music, this might be the most earth-shattering news you've ever heard, so have a seat. The pop star is in talks to have her image featured in the game Fortnite, according to Forbes, which reports the game will use her music and develop a skin in her likeness. Other artists that have been featured in Fortnite include Eminem, Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Mariah Carey, and Metallica. I still love watching people do the Fortnite dance. Selma Blair is back to work. The actress is the star of films like Cruel Intentions, The Sweetest Thing, and A Guy Thing, co-wrote by yours truly. Did you really think I was above making a shameless plug? Blair announced in 2018 that she was dealing with multiple sclerosis. According to Variety, the actress has signed on to three new film projects, including Stay Forte, which is the story of the three Israeli hostages taken by Hamas October 7th of last year. No real details were given about her MS, other than the actress says she's feeling much better. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky for tonight, lows in the upper teens. And turning mostly cloudy for tomorrow, highs in the mid-30s. Then some rain and snow showers around tomorrow night before it warms up to the upper 40s for a high Sunday and partly sunny.
Currently it's 37.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about racial justice with Lisa Jones and Eric Fanning from Red Racism Milwaukee. Then we'll talk with internationally renowned actor and Milwaukee native Casey Washington.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's been a while since we've talked face-to-face. It's great to see you.
I know.
Great to see you, and congratulations. What an amazing victory we have here in Minnesota at our local state senate. Welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Thank you very much. Matakiape, everybody. Yes, it is a time for us to have a short celebration. Minnesota Senate is back in the majority. It's been a kind of a very tumultuous election year, not only what's going on at the national level, but what also has been happening, you know, within our state government with the House now at 67-67, once they fill in an empty seat. But this week, we were very fortunate to have just a fabulous fellow from Northeast Minneapolis step up and run to fill the seat that was vacated through the passing of just a lovely, lovely individual, Carrie Dietzick. And so now we have Doran Clark, who is a couple, you know, is deeply immersed in the Northeast community, the Northeast Minneapolis. We just call it Northeast. So when we say Northeast, everyone knows what we're talking about. He lives there. They work in that community. They've got children in those schools. And from the time that I spent with him, he's just another delightful human being with a heart of gold and looking out for how he can best serve Minnesotans in the Senate. And so that puts us back into the majority. He will be sworn into office on Monday. And up until, you know, when we started session, we had agreement with the GOP members that we would share the power and the leadership because we were tied without that one person majority. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been going really well. I'm the chair of education finance. And so I've been sharing the gavel with Senator Rarick, who's from just north of the Twin Cities. And it's actually gone pretty well. So, you know, flipping back and forth every day, who gets the gavel, and they get to kind of decide the agenda. We talk about the agenda. You know, we both made promises. We weren't going to do anything funny or bring anything surprising to each other. So with this new majority, we will probably be ending that power sharing agreement. Minnesota elected a majority of DFL to the Senate, and with Dorn in place, we can now honor that.
You know, two things. That's great. And I think the media out there is not reporting how well that's going in the Senate. They're just really focused on the House and what's happening there. I've had many football coaches over the years when I was in high school for civics explain what it means that we have a governor and a Senate in one, but then we have a tie in the representatives. Does things move slower? Can you get bills going without the representation of the House of Reps? Can you explain that to our audience?
Oh, sure. So in Minnesota, we have the Democrat governor, Governor Walz, and now we have the Democrat majority in the Senate. But in the House, we are even. So there's equal numbers of DFLers and equal numbers of, they aren't tied. They aren't tied because there is one vacancy because of a residency challenge by the GOP that they want. So there is a special election and they're waiting for it. The House members are, the House DFL are asking to do a power sharing at this time, and GOP is not willing to do that. So our DFLers have not come to the Capitol to do the work. They're doing the work everywhere and all around Minnesota, but they are not at the Capitol. They did not join to create a quorum, because if they were there and a quorum was created at that moment before the seat was filled, GOP would basically take over for the next 2 years without fair representation. So it makes our job in the Senate much more difficult, because we're still doing the work. We're bringing in bills, we're dropping bills, we're hearing bills, we're talking about how we're going to balance the budget in the state of Minnesota, but we don't have the opportunity to send those bills over to the Minnesota House. So if I have a bill for something, there has to be an author in both bodies, in the House and the Senate, and there has to be, it has to go through all the hearings in the House, it has to go through all the hearings in the Senate, and go through the due process. Well, that's not happening yet in the House. And so they're a bit behind, and it could be that that special election, well, we know that special election won't be till March in the House. Yeah. So it might be that those House members aren't back on site until March.
Wow.
And then we're just going to have to do double duty and perhaps even have a special session to get that balanced budget.
Yeah. So the press has really not been, I don't know if they've really explained this. And so I'm glad you are explaining this to our listeners, because it seems like just a one-sided, when I'm watching local news, it's a one-sided conversation. Yeah. And so it's great that you're bringing that up. And, you know, people have to know that the Republicans are going to try and hijack this for the next 2 years that you mentioned. So it's important that we get the word out there, especially for our Democratic friends in the House of Representatives.
Yeah. There was a really good article in the Star Tribune by Representative Emma Greenman, and she really laid it out clearly, and really made it clear that the GOP had no constitution or legal authority to begin, you know, to take over, basically take over the legislature and start doing all the fake committees that they had. She really kind of pins it back to what is happening out in the federal government, how, you know, they are doing things with abandon and, you know, eroding all of the guardrails that were put into place, you know, all those business, you know, she said business leaders, politicians, lobbyists, even foreign leaders who once warned of Trump's threat to democracy are now sitting beside him, best pals, you know, pledging to help carry out his agenda, because honestly, they're afraid of him. And that's not the way this government is supposed to do. What is happening out there is being reflected here in Minnesota. And that's really dangerous way to push those legal limits and violate our norms, distort Minnesota's democratic process. And so the House members are doing an incredible job of you know, not playing that game. They're just not going to do it.
That's good. And I've seen in social media our friend, what's her name? She helped out with the marijuana over the last years. She's been on our show a bunch of times.
Representative Jess Hansen?
Yes. Thank you, Haley. She's reading my mind, or my mind's a blank. I can't remember
which. Hey, we love Jess.
Around us these days, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and our nation's on red alert, too. I've been to many, many meetings about what's happening, what's the future. When the grants were closed down, a lot of our tribal nations here across Turtle Island really count on those funds, especially the medical part of it and the education part of it.
Well, let's remember, all of that is part of the original treaties.
Right.
You know, the medical care, the housing support, the educational supports, all of those things were part of the original treaties. And you can bet that that is going to be another thing that's going to be challenged by the Trump administration. I mean, they, within the first day or two, they're challenging the citizenship of the indigenous people of this continent, of this country. You know, they're going to go back and try to undo everything from the very beginning.
Well, a lot of it's shock and awe, and we see this. And, you know, I'm glad you're where you are, and I'm glad that you're here on Native Roots Radio speaking your truth, because we have to resist, and we are the resist experts, and we can't let this go by. And I know they're working on shock and awe and working on our, you know, being tired, but we're not, and we're still here. We are the seventh generation, and we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Emily Zippos is back as my guest co-host. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recusing himself from an Act 10 lawsuit. What does that mean? Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Mark your calendars. The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is coming up on February 7th and 8th at the Richland Center Community Center. Join us Friday from 3 to 8 and Saturday 8 to 3 for this highly anticipated event featuring up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Enjoy concessions provided by the local Boy Scout troop while you browse. Admission is just $5. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association can't wait to see you February 7th and 8th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show. Don't miss it.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats?
Packers lose a defensive coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers linebacker and run defense coordinator Anthony Campanelli is leaving Green Bay to become defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Campanelli asked what's one of the biggest things he's learned as an NFL assistant coach.
Everybody has a different personality. I think that's part of being a coach is understanding that you don't coach everybody the exact same way. It just doesn't work that way.
On offense, former Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion expected to become Jordan Love's quarterback coach. Tom Clements retired last week. NBA, the Bucks in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team as a reserve. Lillard talked about missing out on a chance to meet former UFC boxing champ Conor McGregor at the Jazz game the other night.
I didn't even know he was there. That's what was crazy. It's like we came back in here after the game and they was talking about it and I didn't even see him. And I'm a big Conor McGregor fan too, so I would have had some questions for him.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Tuesday, Trump does his thing. Oh, we're going to cut all funding. You're sorry, kids, no school lunch. Sorry, granny. We're going to kick you out of the nursing home, no Medicaid. Slash, burn, close the purse. It's over. Wednesday, rescind the whole thing. And understand, this is the kind of chaos we expect from Trump. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, it's because people came in and they expressed outrage. And some of that was true. I think it was more of a jab. I think it was more, hey, let's throw some stuff out there. Let them go crazy. Get them all lathered up. And then, oh, okay, we changed our mind. And understand, we're going to see a lot of this. We're going to see an awful lot of chaos for chaos' sake because this is who they are. Now, do they want to freeze all federal spending? Yeah. Do they want to gut Medicare? Sure. Do they want to gut Medicaid? Abso-freaking-lutely. Now, what's interesting was watching the right. Now, everyone's been focused on the left and Democrats on how they all mobilized together and expressed outrage, rightfully so. But the right fell, well, right in the line. And they did so in a way that just makes me go, is there any hope for them? I mean, honestly and truthfully, is there any hope for these people? Is there any hope for a party that just, you know, we're going to go along to get along? Whatever dear leader wants, dear leader gets. Yeah, don't worry about it. And understand, you know, we've talked about it this week about the fact that that absolutely they were going to destroy a lot of funding programs. A lot of people were going to get hurt. And I said, you know, yesterday that understand, hello, this is what's coming. This is what they want to do. They want to literally take food out of the mouths of children. They do want to kick granny to the curb. They do want to do these things because it's who they are. And understand that it's not going anywhere. They're going to continue to do this stuff. They're going to continue to bring this kind of chaos because, again, it's who they are. It's flooding the zone. Pretty simple. We're just flooding the zone. We're just causing as much chaos as possible. And look, my problem is what did we miss? What in all this did we miss? While we were focused on the craziness, while we were focused on what they were shoveling, what did we miss? You know, for instance, spend a little time thinking about Georgia Representative Rich McCormick, who was on CNN saying that, you know, those kids, they should go get jobs. Those kids need jobs. He said that children should be thinking about their future instead of thinking about how they're going to sponge out of the government and when they don't need it. And you go, that's where he starts from. Kids needing food is setting them up to be sponges. Now, never mind that they're going to go hungry if there is.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back to the Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish. Great to see you. Just great to have you on and talk about real issues and real things that are going on. We know we talked a little bit about the House victory, and now we have to stay vigilant. And what does that look like as a state senator or people in the state of Minnesota? What can we do?
Well, it's everybody's asking that, like, what can we do? How do we either fight back or protect people that we know are going to be targeted? What I tell them is just to be aware of what's going on around you and what's coming down. All those executive decisions or those things that are coming out of that administration, turning off, the dollars that are coming, that should be coming to communities. You know, I'm especially concerned in the education, in all areas, but, you know, education. We're just wondering, how do we set a budget when we don't know what Trump is going to do as far as discontinuing funds, putting conditions on funds, like this whole DEI thing. And don't get me going on the accident that is DEI is responsible for. But, you know, the last time he was in this position, he really destroyed so many families, immigrant families. Mm-hmm. And there would be kids that went home from school and their parents weren't there. They had been picked up from ICE. And, you know, we hear different stories in different ways about this happening. And so, you know, it's important to recognize that our neighbors are extremely vulnerable, just like we saw so many of our, you know, tribal members, especially down south, were being detained by ICE because they have brown skin. And so now everybody has to carry their tribal ID on top of their, you know, American, you know, it's almost like you have to carry your birth certificate, your tribal ID, your social security number. I mean, it's like under siege. They're under siege. And so what we can do is pretty much just take care of each other and look out for each other. At the Capitol, we're trying to anticipate some of the things that might happen. There are hospitals and clinics that have had been doing gender affirming care across the country that have quietly stopped doing that. Hmm. Because they're afraid of what will happen. Schools that have had to train their staff and families about visits from ICE at school, or what should happen if a parent were taken and those kids are left in a very vulnerable situation. It feels so incredibly scary because, you know, you can say, well, it's all smoke and mirrors, and, you know, he's doing this over here, and he said he's going to do that, but nah, he's not going to do that. Yeah, he's going to do that. And that's what we have to plan for, is the worst case scenario. So I have people coming to me all the time, like wanting grants and wanting legislation that's going to cost dollars. And I have to tell them, I don't think I can do anything because we don't know what's going to happen. I can't make sure that that money is going to be there for the next 2 years, let alone the next 4 years. And so it just feels like we all have to, you know, kind of bring all the resources in tight and sort of hunker down and protect what we have, because we don't know what's going to, how long it's going to last. And we don't know if it'll be there in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Right. And, you know, the last term, he, the orange one, only really had the tax bill that he passed. Everything else was executive order, and, you know, gave the billionaires a tax break. And so hopefully with our court system and our legal system, we can block a lot of this bad stuff, because basically, State Senator, he's following the Project 2025 playbook to a T.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and he claimed, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't know right. what that is. Well, you know, his right hand guys are the ones who wrote it. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I asked our researcher, nonpartisan researcher, to ferret out all the education issues in there. And so that I can, you know, have that front and center, because that's the playbook for education. And, you know, anything that's DEI, anything that has to do with transgender, any of those things. And you see already in Minnesota schools that are taking down
right.
Posters in their schools that, you know,
Black Lives Matter.
That send a really good message about their schools, you know. And it starts there. And I know schools are nervous. Our school boards are made up of a wide variety of people, and it will start to show which are the ones that are, you know, that have that agenda to right. Take things apart.
And it's only a few people, but I've noticed, I've seen some news reports, there's not like a crying out, get these posters out of here. There's just a few people that think they're empowered now because the orange one's in. And do you remember, you were in the education system when you became a representative, and then I believe into the Senate too.
Yeah.
I remember when he was first voted in, I was teaching an ELL class, English learners class, second language class, and half my class disappeared the day he was elected. Yeah. Never came back.
Yeah. So you know, when people say, how do we prepare for this, it's basically looking out for each other and being kind to each other, and recognizing there's going to be some very, very vulnerable community members and really hard decisions that need to be made. And I'm just hoping that, you know, the right leaders are in the right place at the right time to make the right decisions.
Well, you know, and our Native way, we've been talking a lot about that with my other job. And we're talking about taking care of you and your family first before that, and how important that is, whether it's mental health, just checking in. There's a lot of things that we can do in those regards.
Mm-hmm.
The dog agreed. Ho-wah.
She's growling really deep. Yes. Yeah. So that makes our job really, really difficult. But I think all of us are very tuned into what's happening, keeping each other alert, having a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings about what we are hearing, what we know, doing our best not to pass any misinformation. to get people alarmed and freaked out so that, you know, it adds to the trauma of the moment. But yeah, there's just a lot of, I don't know what to do. Yeah.
Well, and you deal with the locally issue too. There's a lot of people that you work with in the House and the Senate in that building is that are clueless of what's going on. And that was the big thing, a great thing that the government.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin-based comedian Eli Pills and Nightlight frequent flyer, musician, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Mark your calendars. The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is coming up on February 7th and 8th at the Richland Center Community Center. Join us Friday from 3 to 8 and Saturday 8 to 3 for this highly anticipated event featuring up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Enjoy concessions provided by the local Boy Scout troop while you browse. Admission is just $5. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association can't wait to see you February 7th and 8th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show. Don't miss it.
Local radio for you. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu.
Like, man, what's going on?
That man on the northeast side of Philadelphia, where a jet ambulance with six people aboard crashed shortly after takeoff, crashing into houses and cars on the street.
I go to the gym to relieve stress, and you hear the boom, and you see everything, but you just see the plane getting lower and lower.
Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker.
As of right now, we have no reports on the number of fatalities. So right now we're just asking for prayers for any and everyone who may have been affected.
One of the six people aboard the jet ambulance was a child.
Several dwellings and vehicles were impacted. So what are we asking you to do for us right now, Philadelphia? We're urging you to please stay away from the scene.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro was said to be heading for Philadelphia. This is ABC News.